This is the second talk on the Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. As we mentioned in the previous talk, we Catholics have always believed that Jesus remains present in the consecrated bread and wine, even after the Mass has ended. It's for that reason that we don't put the unused hosts back into the box from which they came. We don't pour the consecrated wine that wasn't drunk back into the bottle. And we certainly don't pour those things out. We don't discard the hosts or the Eucharistic elements. We don't pour the precious blood into the ground or down the sink, because we believe that they are, in fact, the body and blood of Jesus. From the very earliest days, the Church has always reserved the consecrated bread, the Eucharistic bread, so that people could receive communion as they were dying, if they were sick and unable to come to the Eucharist. And even in the early days of the Church, the faithful were permitted to keep the Blessed Sacrament, the consecrated bread, in their homes to communicate themselves during the week, on the weekdays when there were no gatherings for the celebration of Mass. That, of course, is not permissible now. We also generally do not reserve the Blessed Sacrament under the form of wine, simply because of the danger of keeping it safely. Of course, if someone is sick and can only receive communion under the form of wine, then the Blessed Sacrament can be reserved in that fashion until it's brought to them. Out of this practice of reserving the Blessed Sacrament so that people could participate in communion during the week, during the times between the celebration of Mass, arose this of the Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, of spending time in front of the consecrated bread and worshiping and adoring Jesus. This is logical. If the consecrated bread, if Jesus is present there in the form, under the form of a bread, under the form of appearances of bread, then Jesus ought to be adored. Then Jesus ought to be worshipped. Then Jesus ought to be honored. It's very interesting over the years. Ultimately, the name that we have given to the container, the box-like structure, it takes many different forms throughout history and in places, but the name that we have given to it is tabernacle. The word tabernaculum in Greek, or rather in Latin, means a tent, and it refers to the reference in John's Gospel in the first chapter where it says the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Literally in Greek means he pitched his tent among us. It also recalls the tent sanctuary, that the temporary portable sanctuary that was a tent structure that the Jews had as they spent 40 years in the desert. It was the place and the location of God's presence among them. What is adoration? Adoration is an attitude. It's a mindset. It's when we acknowledge God as God, when we acknowledge Him and we reflect upon Him to be our Creator and our Savior, when we acknowledge that He is Lord and Master of all that exists. Adoration is also when we come to the awareness that of our own we are nothing. We are completely dependent on God. We came into existence because He willed it. We continue because He willed it. And we will never go out of existence because He wills it. Adoration is also prayer. It's the lifting up of our mind and our heart to God. Adoration is praise. It's the honoring of God for who and what He is. Adoration is thanksgiving. It's intercession and it's position. Why should I practice adoration of the Blessed Sacrament? Well, first of all, it's very logical. Jesus is present in the Blessed Sacrament, in this outward sign that He gave us. And present not just to be our food, not just to allow us to stand at Calvary, but present continually in this sacrament, in the consecrated bread and wine, so that we can understand that Jesus abides with us in all times, and that God is more present to us than we are to ourselves. The sacraments are outward signs, and they strengthen the weakness of our faith. We human beings are also outward in nature. We have an inner spiritual nature, but we also have an external physical nature. And the sacraments are meant to be our ways to contact the God whom we cannot see, the God whom we believe in by our faith, to contact him through the world and the physical things that he has given us in the world, the physical things that he has created in the world, that are the first manifestation of his presence, his goodness, his love, and his power. How should I adore Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament? Ideally, I would do this in the context of a holy hour. You will recall, after the Last Supper, after really giving us the gift of the Eucharist, Jesus takes his disciples with him to Gethsemane, and he invites Peter, James, and John to spend an hour in prayer and watching with him as he prepares for his crucifixion, as he prepares to hand himself over to the Father. All through John's Gospel, he talks about this hour of his death, the hour in which the Son of Man would be glorified, that moment in which he would give himself over to the Father. This holy hour that we spend could be before the Blessed Sacrament exposed in a monstrance. The monstrance is that gold vessel that often enough looks like a sunburst that holds the hosts up so that we can see the consecrated bread and draws our focus and attention there. This holy hour, of course, could also be made in front of the tabernacle, in front of Jesus was served in the Blessed Sacrament. That's typically how I make my own holy hour day by day. What do we do during a holy hour? Well, there, Cardinal Carberry, one of the previous archbishops of St. Louis, offered the suggestion that we use the word ACTS, a little acronym standing for Adoration, Contrition, Thanksgiving, Supplication. Adoration, that we realize who God is. We realize his greatness. We take stock of who I am. Contrition, that we bring our heart to sorrow and to repentance for our failings, for our sins, for our weakness, for the sins of the world, for the failings and the weakness of the world in which we live. That we make thanksgiving, that we thank God for all the blessings and the gifts that he has given to us, most especially for the gift of our salvation, that we thank him for his presence and his action in the world, and that we spend time in supplication, in praying for my spiritual and bodily needs, for those of my family and my friends, praying for world peace, for vocations, the priesthood, the religious life. How else might we spend that hour? I remember in a talk I listened to by Archbishop Sheen once, he says, well, I don't know. Archbishop Sheen made a holy hour every day of his life from the time he was a priest. He said, I don't know how to spend a holy hour. How would you spend an hour with someone you love? Of course, Archbishop Sheen really knew very well how to spend a holy hour. You can certainly take time reading the scriptures. The Word of God, his word that has been written down in the Bible, as we sit there and read that word and take it into us and allow it to nourish us as we sit or kneel in the presence of the Word made flesh in this great sacrament. One could certainly pray the rosary, meditating on the mysteries of the life, death, and resurrection of the Blessed Mother. Perhaps the chaplet of Divine Mercy. Or perhaps you could do something that's so strange to us in our time and our place. You could just sit, catch your breath, breathe, and be at peace. Be at peace with Jesus. Be at peace with yourself. There's a story told by St. John Vianney once that he came into church and he saw a boy just sitting there, staring up at the altar, looking up at everything around in the church. And he stopped and he says, well, young man, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm just sitting here, looking at the good God, and letting the good God look at me. What a wonderful, simple, childlike way to spend an hour with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. It's my prayer, my hope, that if you have not yet begun to do this, this Lent will see you making it a practice
to spend a holy at least once a week. Our chapel here at St. Catherine's is open every day while the office is open. Monday through Friday, generally from 8 o'clock to about 4:30 in the afternoon. On Thursdays, we have exposition of the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance, starting at 8:30 and going all the way till the Mass at 7 o'clock in the evening. During the Lenten season, we will be having exposition and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament after the Wednesday evening Mass at 7 o'clock until 10 p.m. in the evening. Of course, you could stop into the chapel on Sunday a little earlier, before Mass or after Mass. Perhaps not a whole hour on Sunday, but a short visit, either individually or even ideally as a family. This Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday during the Easter Triduum, we will have the opportunity to be in church and to worship Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament Thursday after the Mass until midnight. On Good Friday, we will engage in the practice of a very ancient custom of the church from Europe of setting up the tomb of Jesus. And in the tomb will be placed the monstrance with the Blessed Sacrament. There's the opportunity will be on Good Friday until 1 o'clock on Saturday morning to worship. And then all during Holy Saturday, the tomb will be open for our worship and our adoration. I would hope that as a cell group, you would make some commitments and some decisions to be present to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament during these Lenten times. This development of devotion to Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament is a key aspect of who we are as a parish community. First of all, because we're Catholic, and secondly, because we're named for that great saint of the Blessed Sacrament, Catherine Drexel, who saw in the Eucharist, both offered as the sacrifice of the Mass, the Eucharist received as Holy Communion, the Eucharist adored as the continual presence of Jesus under the forms of bread and wine. She saw there the way and the means to live Christian life, the way and the means to make ours the spirit of the Eucharist, the total gift of oneself to God and to our neighbors in love and in service.